at 50, start thinking about what you might want to be doing at 55. Or, you know, because it sometimes takes, you know, 3 to 5 years to really, if you want to make a shift to do a different kind of work, maybe do even a patchwork quilt of jobs at this next stage in your life, you need to prepare for that. You need to do that soul searching about what is it I really would like to do in this next chapter of my life, and what skills do I need to add in order to be able to do that. And, you know, it might be that people want to continue working for their current employer as they age, but they need to find a way to phase into a retirement. And it's still non-negotiable to keep those skills up to date, so your employer wants to keep you on the job. So it takes a couple of years to really start, you know, doing that soul searching, the skill search about what you really have, and looking around you and saying, okay, what is my financial world look like? A lot of us don't want to look under the hood and say, how much do I really have saved here? You know, so it's really difficult to push people to do this, but if you can start in your 50s, looking at what you want to move towards, what are you retiring to? This will really help you get a grip on what you need to be doing.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement. How they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, are you ready for retirement? Are you ready both financially and emotionally? Because it's a big change going from full-time work to retiring off your savings. And if you aren't ready, then perhaps you need to have a closer look at your financial situation. Today's guest, Kerry Hannon, is a nationally recognized expert and strategist on career transitions, entrepreneurship, personal finance, and retirement. She's frequently seen on TV and a radio commentator and is a sought-after keynote speaker at conferences across the country. And Kerry has written extensively about all of this. She is the author of 12 books and has dedicated her work to making a difference in people's lives. So we're going to catch up and see what Kerry thinks about getting ready for retirement and what else we could be doing. Hi, welcome back to the Retire Well, Retire Happy show with your host, Annie Nelson. And on the line now, we have Kerry Hannon, a well-known author and commentator. Welcome back to the show.
Terrific. Great to be here, Anne. Thanks for the invitation.
You're welcome. Now, you write many, many articles and you appear on many shows. I was intrigued to read a recent article of yours about working in retirement and how it's becoming more of a reality.
Yeah, it truly is. I mean, the whole dynamic of retirement has truly shifted as the boomer generation has been moving up through the pipeline.
It's interesting. So times are changing, apparently. So in the past, people thought they were going to work in retirement, but not so many of them did. So what's changed?
Yeah, you know, that's exactly it, Anne. I think, you know, and to some respect, retirees often did do a little work in retirement. But in today's world, it's really become a real pillar of someone's retirement plan. Even someone who has saved adequately for retirement, and many people have not, because of the longevity, we're living longer, presumably healthier lives. So we have more years to finance if you were to retire in your 60s, right? So instead of it being a maybe, you know, I'm going to work as a safety net, it's becoming more of something that individuals plan at work as carving that out a piece of their retirement. And I'm not talking about necessarily full-time work. It can be a gig job, part-time, seasonal, contract, consulting. There's all kinds of ways to slice or dice it. But in many ways, it is a financial need for some people, but it's also a sort of a mental and a social engagement need. It's know, studies have shown us that people, you know, that work is not a four-letter word, that if you continue to work, it keeps you vibrant, it keeps you engaged in the world around you. So there's lots of positives for it. But the basic reason why things have shifted, to get back to the original question, is really this notion that we're living longer lives, and we just have, you know, 20 or 30 years you may need to, you know, continue living, and we don't know how much medical costs might be at the end of life. So again, it's a big question mark. So people are, you know, really cautious now in approaching these years in a little different fashion than they did before.
It's times certainly are changing, and living a long life is a reality. I took two 90-year-olds to the theater the other day. One was their sight was going, and one their hearing was going. So there's something that's always going to happen to us as we get older, when we don't know which bit's going to go first, but we certainly are living longer.
We definitely are. And so it's financing. And the other big factor here that we can't ignore is, you know, I do a lot of speaking and writing about women and women and money. And for women, these financial challenges are even greater because they're often alone at the later decades of their life through divorce or being a widow. And they're financially vulnerable because over the course of their lifetime, they've been in and out of the workforce. They may have taken time out to raise kids or care for aging family members. And they often work in businesses that may not have a retirement plan that they could invest in as they were working along. They may work for small businesses or nonprofits, those kinds of things. But, and oh yeah, I forgot the wage gap, which is global. We know that women, so you, when you earn less, you don't have as much to save for retirement. So I think women are particularly at risk in the later stages of their lives. So working as long as you can is really, really imperative.
I heard a recent case of a lady who husband was like an ex-military person, and when they had a quite a good pension via him, but once he was deceased, it stopped the pension, and she was absolutely devastated.
Yeah, poverty for women at those later decades is a real reality, and it's something that's important that women pay attention to as early in their lives as they can. I mean, I tend to, you know, I go out and I talk to 20-somethings and I'm like, seriously, you have got to pay attention today, because retirement seems like years and years away, but it's really your saving for your life. You know, you need to rethink the way you look at retirement, because, you know, we're doing in those stages of our lives, and it's not necessarily because we don't have, the kind of work we do isn't for many people as physical as it once was. I mean, you can work as I do off of my computer, right? I write. And so you can work longer. And so you have that ability to do that. And you really need to focus on how can I, as you move up the decades, keep your learning going, keep your skills sharp so that you, in fact, can continue to be engaged in the workforce in some way. It doesn't have to be, you know, as rigorous as it was initially, but bringing in some income can be a real benefit and a real boost to one's financial security.
Yes, it sounds very logical, but how close to retirement do people start paying attention, really?
They don't. That's the problem. I try to tell people, you know, at 50, start thinking about what you might want to be doing at 55, or, you know, because it sometimes takes, you know, 3 to 5 years to really, if you want to make a shift to do a different kind of work, maybe do even a patchwork quilt of jobs at this next stage in your life, you need to prepare for that. You need to do that soul searching about what is it I really would like to do in this next chapter of my life, and what skills do I need to add in order to be able to do that. And, you know, it might be that people want to continue working for their current employer as they age, but they need to find a way to phase into a retirement. And it's still non-negotiable to keep those skills up to date, so your employer wants to keep you on the job. So it takes a couple of years to really start, you know, doing that soul searching, the skill search about what you really have, and looking around you and saying, okay, what is my financial world look like? A lot of us don't want to look under the hood and say, how much do I really have saved here? You know, so it's really difficult to push people to do this. But if you can start in your 50s, looking at what you want to move towards, what are you retiring to? This will really help you get a grip on what you need to be doing.
We think, oh, we've got plenty of time, don't we? And a lot of us, as we are working, we concentrate on securing that house and working towards paying that off, but thinking that those sort of assets will always keep going up in value. But guess what? The GFC sorted that out, didn't it?
It doesn't always, there's no guarantees in that department. It often can be a good investment as well. But what I encourage people to do, and again, this is a difficult thing, but you need to get financially fit. So you should be doing this as you go along in the different decades of your life. But definitely in your 50s, you need to sit down and do a budget. You need to say, how can I get lean and mean? How can I start paying off some debts I might have? How can I, maybe you do want to move out of that home that you're in and move to something that's more affordable, or move to a town that's, the costs are lower in some way. And this is the time that you need to get really serious about, you know, getting financially fit, because when you are, then, Anne, you have options. You have options for the kind of work you might want to do in the later stages of your life. If you want to do a transition to a whole different kind of work, you might not get paid as much as you did in your primary job. So if you're prepared for that, it's okay, because you can still do work you love and bring in income, but you're not tied to having to have a certain salary. And we know, you and I both know, that ageism is alive and well in the workplace. So it's not easy to find work after a certain age. So if you can be willing to be sort of nimble on how much you earn, that'll help you.
Yes, it will help you, and it also keeps your mind active. So it depends on how active you have been in your community and if you have things to do.
Yeah, it's really important. I mean, work, and it can be, you know, if you want to bring it down to not working, it can be volunteering even, but it's something that you do that is, that your social network stays alive and well and vibrant. Because one of the biggest dangers of getting older and leaving the workplace is isolation. And isolation is really detrimental to our health. And it is one way that if you can stay working in some fashion, you feel good, you feel relevant, you feel needed. And if it can be somewhat on your own terms and you have some autonomy, then that's a win. It's really a win. I'm actually working on a book right now called Great Pajama Jobs. And it's all about working remotely. And all kinds of jobs. I mean, serious jobs that you can do from home. And these can be, and it's really a global movement. And these can be jobs that, as we get older, ageism might not play in as big a factor, because people aren't necessarily looking at you. And you can do your work virtually. And these can be very nice paying jobs. So I think there's a whole revolution in the workplace we're going to see as we move forward.
The internet connects us with the whole world.
It really does. It really opens up opportunities that no other generation has had. And it's only going to get faster and more connected. So again, this is something that as we age, we need to stay really current with technology, so that we're not sort of daunted by the idea that we're going to be conducting a lot of work via the computer, and we're comfortable with it. And it's not hard, but you need to do it. It's repetition. And again, online, if you get online, there's all sorts of tutorials that can help you as well.
That's right. Well, I myself do a bit of share trading online. So it's something you can do from your home or from wherever you are. As long as you've got the internet, you can do it anywhere.
Yep, it's really important. But, you know, I think it's important, as this next chapter in our lives can offer so many things. And, you know, there was a time that people thought, you know, I just step away from the workplace, and, you know, go and hang out with the grandkids or golf or travel. But that gets, you know, there's still a human need in us to feel needed, to feel relevant. You know, making some sort of pay really gives value to your time and what you're doing. And as we talked about at the beginning of our conversation, living longer years, you know, the more you can continue to bring in some income in some fashion, it really is going to help you with that financial security at the end of your life.
Well, that's reassuring to hear what you're saying. And I believe you have a book out, I don't know how old it is, and it's called Never Too Old to Get Rich. A bit about that, please, Carrie.
I absolutely can. That book came out earlier this year, just a couple of months ago, and it's a guide to midlife entrepreneurship. I just absolutely love this book because it fits in right what we're talking about continuing to do work as we get older and doing work that really, you know, resonates with us. And maybe something we had set aside at another stage in our life because we had to, you know, pay down some of those big ticket items, the mortgage or pay back college debts or put kids through school. But now it's our time. And so in this book, I profile 20 entrepreneurs and I divide it into four different sections. The first group are people who started businesses from hobbies or passions. The second group are people who started businesses with those who are younger. So they're gen to gen, you know, intergenerational businesses. Someone in their 50s, 60s, or 70s starting a business with somebody in their 20s or 30s. And I absolutely love these kind of startup businesses because you get the benefit of the skills that come with each of those generations, from the tech savvy, the energy, the enthusiasm that both actually have, but you have the experience of the older entrepreneur and maybe a little capital there, but sort of the idea that they have this network and you have this really great partnership. So I profile some of those businesses that I love. And then the third group are people who have started businesses that are nonprofits, that are really, you know, from something, a cause they wear on their heart on their sleeve, I should say. And so there's something that they really matter to them and they've started their own nonprofits. And the final group is women entrepreneurs at this age. And of course, women are in all of the other chapters, but the last section is all about female entrepreneurship because women over 50 are the fastest group of entrepreneurs worldwide. It's a global movement and women are just fabulous at starting businesses. They're great entrepreneurs the same way that they're great investors once they get started. But so I profile all kinds of fun businesses there as well. But I gotta say that my title, which I do love my Never Too Old to Get Rich title, but you know, it's also, it is about, you know, growing your wallet and hopefully making a lot of money in your new business at this stage of life. It can also be really the richness of doing work you love with people you love and something you really care about. And at this stage in life, what could be better, you know, truthfully? So the book is kind of those profiles of these people and then Carrie's workshop, sort of the playbook of if you want to start a business at this stage, this is what you need to do. And I kind of talk people through lots of different, you know, sort of guides and help and websites to go to and books, other books to read. And I think it's really a good playbook for folks thinking about starting a business.
Well, that sounds interesting. I didn't realize that you also included a guide to how to start your own business. But does it also give a guide to what sort of startup money people are looking at?
You know, it does in a way, because I think we all get caught up in this idea that you need this huge bucket of startup capital. But in fact, you actually don't for many businesses. And it goes back to what you and I are talking about, being able to do virtual work. So if you don't need a bricks and mortar office or a retail shop or something, and you can develop a business out of your home office on your home computer with a great website, you can certainly get started for, you know, under $4,000 or $3,000, even if it's just getting that website going. And you don't have to necessarily hire workers to work on a regular basis on it that you're paying all kinds of benefits for. You can have a virtual workforce, virtual assistants, because of the nature of the way the work world is now. It's easy to find remote workers, as we were talking about, who can be on your team, but it's more affordable and it can be on an as-needed basis.
Mm. Well, that sounds absolutely wonderful. I'm sure many people would benefit from this book. It's just showing it's a sign of the times, isn't it, that we are looking to keep either, so we're looking for a bit of spending money, but we're looking to stay engaged and keep our mind active and either staying in work part-time or starting your own business. It sounds like a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah, I think you've totally captured it with that statement. It is the truth. It's about, you know, getting out of your head and into the world. It's about doing things. We all get to this stage in our life. It's like, what was it all about? Is there more to this? Is there something I missed? Is there something that I can leave an impact or a legacy of some kind? And often these kinds of businesses I find people starting, they're services and products often that give back or solve a problem. And often they're even solving problem in this longevity market that we're talking about, that we're living longer. So it could be people creating goods and services for people in their 70s and 80s, you know, people 50s and 60s doing these jobs or providing these services for the aging population. So there's a whole plethora of businesses that we've never even thought about before that really can be created to solve a problem that an aging population might be facing.
Mm-hmm. And just before we finish up, older people engaged in the online community, what age limit are we talking about here? Because I know my mum wouldn't be able to navigate a computer.
Yeah. You know, and that's a good point. My mother as well was really great with a computer up until about, she's 90 years old now. So I would say when she was about 85, she started to get some dementia. And while she's very functional and everything, the computer just stymies her. So it really depends on the individual. So up until a pretty old age in some people's book, I don't know if 85 is considered old these days, but she was pretty adept at it. But certainly you have people, you know, a little earlier than that, that are starting to find it a little daunting. So I think a lot of it comes down to mental agility and willingness to stay engaged on the platforms. And again, back to when we were talking about the baby boomers moving through this pipeline, the baby boomers and the Gen Xers behind us, you know, the 50s, you know, early 50s and late 40s behind us, they grew up in a digital world. So there's a lot more comfort with working with computers. So I think as we move forward, there's going to be a more comfort level in people, as long as it's not, and we know dementia is a huge global problem, and it's not something that is a stumbling block. So, you know, we're speaking to the audience of people that really don't have that obstacle in front of them.
No, or we're talking to people that are maybe looking after their aging parents as well.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Well, it's been great talking to you again today. So if anyone of the listeners wanted to find out more about Kerry Hannon, where would they go?
Well, thank you for asking. The first place to go is my website, which is kerryhannon.com. So that's KerryHannon.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Kerry Hannon, KerryHannon. You can find me on Facebook, on Instagram, and you can just email me if you have some wonderful business you've started and you want me to learn about it. Maybe I can write about it. I'm at Kerry@KerryHannon.com, and I just love to showcase really cool businesses that people in this age range are starting and applaud people and say, hey, here's an example of somebody, you know, how they did it, what their challenges were, and what their rewards. So feel free to reach out.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you very much for being part of the Retire Well, Retire Happy show.
Great. Well, thank you so much, and I appreciate the invitation.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.